All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of A Clean Bill of Wealth. I'm your host, Galen Nuttall, and I am talking about what else but the proposed changes to the budget and the implications of the change to capital gains and how it's going to affect physicians. So I'm joined today by my good friend, Carlin Poole, who's a mortgage agent who can work with anyone across Canada, can go to lots of different companies. So if you haven't checked out my episode with Carlin, be sure to check it out. And Carlin's here to ask me questions about what's going on so I can help people understand it. So thanks for being here.
No problem. Hey, Galen.
Yeah, absolutely. And so quick thing is, you know, unless you've been under a rock, you know that there's a proposed budget change and you know that it's going to, almost every physician I know is going to be affected by it. So that's really, if you're, this podcast episode is for you, if you are a physician in Canada, concerned about this change, whether you haven't incorporated yet and wondering if you should, or if you have incorporated and wondering if there's anything you can do about it. That's what this episode is for. So take it away, Carlin.
Okay. Can you summarize what's happening to corporations?
Yeah. So as of the recording of this, it's a proposed change to capital gains. So I think the best way to sort of summarize what's happening is, you know, when it comes to retirement planning in Canada, most Canadians have access to a TFSA and an RSP. And some people have access to what's called a corporation. So over a decade ago, doctors were given the ability to incorporate. And the idea was that it was in lieu of an increase in pay, they were going to be able to incorporate, the theory being they were going to keep more of what they made because of this tax structure. Over the last 10 years, since I've been a financial planner, some of those advantages have been chipped away at over time. And it's getting, and this one is going to be another big one. Like if this goes through, it hasn't gone through yet, but if it does go through, it's going to be a really big one that affects physicians in particular. Quick analogy is like, so when it comes to the most Canadians that can access a tax-free savings account and RSP, it's kind of like if retirement were a road trip and a physician who is working today is thinking, okay, I want to retire by X age. I'm going to need X money until, you know, in all my retirement, how much do I need to be saving up? And so to get ready for that road trip, it's like they're putting some stuff in the trunk of the car. They're putting some stuff in the back seat of the car. It's a really long road trip. And they have one of those things that you put like on top of the car, like one of those cargo things. So you can think of like the trunk in the back seat as like the RSP and the TFSA that everyone has. And then this extra thing on top of the car that almost all, I mean, physicians have access to. It's a special kind of a corporation, commonly referred to as an MPC or a medicine professional corporation. Basically, it's a special kind of a corporation that physicians can have. And the idea being that most physicians I meet, not only could they be using RSPs and TFSAs, they are also using the corporation, which is being impacted by these changes.
Okay. So are doctors being targeted with this change?
Yeah. So, I mean, certainly, like doctors I'm talking to are feeling targeted. So I can't speculate as to whether this is going after doctors, but they are feeling targeted. And I think the valid reason for which they're feeling targeted is, as I mentioned, doctors have access to a special kind of a corporation. So it's different than the kind of a corporation, let's say, if I owned like a automotive repair shop, I'd probably have a corporation. I'd probably have like my building in there, my inventory in there. I'd pay my staff out of there. And maybe I'd have some sort of a corporation. I'd be using that corporation maybe to save money to retire, or I'd have another allied corporation called a holdco that I might be using. Now, the biggest difference on average between a business owner that has a corporation and a physician is very few physicians have a business to sell at the end of the day. Like the corporation is basically them. Like if I were a doctor, my corporation would basically be Galen Nuttall Medicine Professional Incorporated. Like it wouldn't be, you know, some other thing. So very few physicians can actually sell a corporation. So your average business owner that maybe is building up a business that they can someday sell, like the value of that business is going to be a big part of their retirement plan. Whereas for a physician, very rarely are they going to be able to sell their corporation or their business or anything like that. So they really have to be saving a lot of money inside of the corporation on average to be able to fund a retirement plan, because they don't have money coming from anywhere else in retirement. No pension. You know, it's all up to them to figure out what's going on.
Right. Okay. Okay. So what can doctors do about these changes?
I should probably take a step back and explain what exactly is happening. So, and sorry, first quick disclaimer too, is like, if you're listening to this, please don't go out and make any rash changes to what you're doing unless you really, like, first off, at the time of this recording, the information is still fairly new. People are still coming out with analyses about what's happening. I also have a YouTube video where I explain what's happening visually. So if you're a visual learner, wherever you're listening to this, just go to the links in the comment, in the description. You're going to find a link to my YouTube video. It's a short YouTube video where I walk through visually what's happening. So to explain it, not visually, basically certain types of investments are taxed as a potential corporate capital gain. So basically, if someone owns an equity portfolio or an equity fund, which a lot of people own because those are the ones that, you know, over historically have a high rate of growth and can help fund retirement. So if someone buys an equity fund, let's just use simple numbers. Like if someone put $100,000 into an equity fund and let it grow to $200,000 and cashed it out, that $100 of gain would then be split in half to 50% of that would be considered a gain that's tacked onto income. Like if this were outside of a corporation. And the current change, so currently it's 50%, no matter how big that gain is, gets tacked onto one's income. If someone doesn't have a corporation, they're basically free and clear of this new level. So they're increasing the amount. It's no longer going to be 50%. It's going to be 66.67%, which is quite the jump. Like if inflation were that high in 1 year, it would be shocking. If housing, in times when housing prices have gone up that much, it's been shocking. Recently, gas prices went up by not even that much, I don't think. No, they didn't go up quite that much, but they went up a lot. That was front page news. So this hike is actually pretty substantial. So if someone has that money outside of a corporation, they're free and clear in the under the old 50% all the way up to 250, and then they're going to have 66.67. But if someone's investing inside of a corporation, which doctors commonly do, they're actually taxed to that 66.67 from the first dollar. Like there's no wiggle room of 250. Like if someone had even like a dollar that turned into $2 and they went to sell that, that gain would be at 66.67%. And I'm leaving out some complicated like accounting stuff, but basically that at the end of the day is what's happening. So sorry, I thought I'd take a step back just to really get clear on what is happening. Now, so at the end of the day, what that leads to is when a physician goes to retire, and let's say they've got money in RSPs, they got money in TFSAs, a lot of them, the biggest place that they've saved money is inside of their corporation. And now they need to start taking money out of those places to live in retirement. Someone retires, needs income month to month, they're going to start cashing out investments. If a lot of what they have is inside of their corporation, they're going to have less than they would have. Like any doctor who started planning under this old rule, did the math, found out if they were going to be successful in retirement, and then now maybe they're not going to be as successful in retirement. Maybe they're going to have to work longer because they're going to have less money available to fill in that income need in retirement. So what they can do about it, first off, if you haven't incorporated yet, so overall, I'd say wait, like don't do anything right now. Like as of the recording of this, like I said, it's still pretty fresh information. But the things to start looking at is one, if you haven't incorporated yet, whether you're new in practice or it just hasn't made sense yet, like wait until these changes are fully understood and like until they come to pass or not before you decide to incorporate. It can still make sense. I'm not saying corporations don't make sense at all. What I will say, so that's first thing. Second thing is if you have incorporated and you don't have a plan or you haven't done a retirement plan yet, I would encourage you to start a retirement plan based on either scenario, whether it's going to stay at 50 or go up. And I highly recommend people do that if they don't have a plan already to see if they'll still be successful. And then if you have a whole bunch of potential capital gains in your corporation, it's to figure out if it makes sense to trigger any of those before the potential change in June. Basically, there's a calculation you can do to find out like if there's a crossover point of should you take the tax hit now under the understanding that's going to be greater later, or is it better just to leave it and let that money continue to grow? So basically, if you don't feel confident that you can do that number yourself, talk to whoever you're working with from a certified financial planning standpoint and maybe an accountant to do that.
Okay, great. Where should a doctor start if they're not sure what they should be doing right?
Yeah, so really, I'd say if you're already working with a financial planner, ask them to crunch some numbers for you, ask them to revisit the plan. If you're not working with one, as I said, if you like the idea of having a fee-based plan where you pay for a plan, get a plan, and there's no hidden fees, you don't have to buy products. I do fee-based planning for physicians all the way across Canada. I've been a financial advisor for 10 plus years. And so really, if you want to know more or are interested in having a phone call, click in the link wherever you're listening to this. Go to Galen. It's galenhelpsdocs.com. And basically, you book a half hour discovery call where we have a conversation to see if it makes sense for you to get a plan or not. But basically, that's the purpose of that call, is to find out if the timing is right for you to take on a plan.
Is there anything else you can think of that doctors could be doing right now?
So one of the things I've done for my clients over the last few years is looked at, you know, what can a corporation hold that's tax advantaged? And there's some things that I'm looking at that have not really been affected by these changes. Some things have been affected. But so I'd encourage people, if you aren't already, you know, whoever you're working with or whatever you're doing, like research tax advantage things that can be held by a corporation. And there's some strategies that haven't really been top of mind. Like they've been out there and around. And I don't want to go into details because, I mean, it depends very much on an individual situation. But just if you're working with someone, just ask them, like, what are the other things I could be doing from a tax advantage standpoint with my corporation? Because there's certain things that are probably going to be a little bit more popular than they were before because of this change. Like at the end of the day, I think the sense that people are getting, if they didn't already have it, like I met with an accountant years ago when one of these big changes came through, not this specific one, but years ago, an older one came through. And he said to me, a doctor had called him up and told him to cancel his corporation. He's like, I'm just closing it. And the accountant really urged him not to do it because it was going to be a real problem from a tax perspective. But the guy did it. And so I think I don't think anyone should really consider closing their corporation just because of this change, or it's very rare that that would be the case. But I use that story as just to illustrate, like, I think people are getting more and more concerned that the corporation, the effectiveness of it is dropping. But there are some strategies that haven't been as popular that are probably going to gain a little bit of popularity, because once we crunch the numbers, like that's what we're doing for our clients, is saying, hey, these things that we kind of dismissed in the past, like what if they work better now? So really at the end of the day, if you're working with someone, ask them to look at, corporate preferred things that can help defer capital gains, that can help create an income stream allied to the corporation, that can help you borrow against the corporation. And if you don't have anyone to talk to, like I said, you can click on the link and book a half hour call, and I'll see if you're a good fit for a plan where we will analyze if you qualify for those things. Awesome. Thanks so much for joining me on this episode. I really hope this was helpful. Be sure to check out the YouTube video that's in the description of this episode. And if you do want to book a call, that's also going to be a link that's in the description. So as I said, these are all new changes. We're still crunching the numbers on these things, but there are things you can do to help protect against what's going on. And a big shout out to my friend Carlin, who was willing to hop on here, ask me a few questions, and help me sort out the things that you top of mind for people who are going to be affected by these changes. Take care and see you on the next one.